Today's shiur is Masechta Beya Daf Mem, the last blot of the Masechta, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Mishaya Peiros Abir Acheres, somebody has his fruit, his produce in a different city. V'irvu b'nei oisei ir l'havi etzloi m'peirosav. That city is 4,000 amos away from his city, and the people from that city had made an erev tchumim in the direction of his city, so they're able to deliver the peiros because with the erev tchumim they could arrive to his city. However, he had not made an erev for him to be able to go to that city. Then the halach is lo yivu loy. They're not allowed to bring his produce, even though they're allowed to come to the city where he lives in. Even though when they come to his city he lives in, they're allowed to bring their own produce. However, since he didn't make an erev, the halacha is that somebody's produce has the same status as him. And so if he can't bring and can't go there, neither may his produce go. However, if he did make an erev, then the halacha is peiros of kamayhu. Since he could get to that city, his produce could be brought to the city. And the mefarshim explained, not only could he be the one to deliver the produce, anybody who made an erev could be the one to deliver that produce to the city where he's in. Tells us the Mishnah another din. Misha zimun etzloi archim. Somebody invited guests on Yontif. La yilichem biyodim monos. So these guests, let's say, are from a different city. And again, they could walk to their city because they made an erev. But he didn't make an erev in the direction of that city. And his property, therefore, can't go in that direction. The halacha is that if he wants to give them the leftovers to take home, they can't take him home. Unless he specifically gave them ownership in this food from Erev Yontif. Rashi says, how is that accomplished? That he takes an outside person, and he is mezaka. He tells them, you should acquire this food on behalf of these people, and then it becomes theirs, and because it becomes theirs, therefore they could take it home. Tosfos questions, why does he have to go through this whole process of actually doing a kinyan? Maybe just designating the food should be enough. So Tosfos says, since they have no ownership in his home, they're just guests, the only way they can have ownership is through some sort of a kinyan. Anything less is not enough. Although, I did see that the Rajba says, like Tosfos' kasha, that we don't have to go through a kinyan process, just designating might be adequate. Then I saw another machlokes. Some first want to say that when does he have to go through this process of being makna, the food on their behalf, is if he's only going to invite them on Yontif. However, if he already invites them on Erev Yontif, an invitation from Erev Yontif is enough that it should be considered their food without any kinyan. There's a very fundamental question that's asked, very halacha l'maisa, on this Mishnah. Rashi says, what's the purpose of them taking the food? So Rashi says the purpose of them taking the food is that they can have the food to eat that night. So the obvious question is, you can't carry food from one day yontif for the next day yontif. So the Chasam Sofer says, that night doesn't mean the night the next day. That night means in the afternoon, late in the afternoon, but still the same day yontif. Sasemis explains that it's referring to a situation where it's Friday Shabbos, and the person had left an Erev Tavshilin. And since he left the Erev Tavshilin, so then you can prepare on Friday Yontif for Shabbos. But there's a very interesting Chaya Odom. The Chaya Odom says, it's an interesting way of starting to end our Masechta, that even though we've learned so many times in our Masechta the concept of Achona, that you're not allowed to prepare on one day Yontif for the next day Yontif, you're not allowed to prepare on Yontif certainly for after Yontif. Says the Chai Odom, if what you're doing is not really an activity or a significant activity, then you're allowed to prepare in one day Yontif for the next. He makes a number of conditions. He says it has to be Letzayruch Mitzvah, like in this case that you're carrying for Yontif meal. It can't be obvious that you're doing it one day for the next, so they wouldn't be able to carry the meals, let's say, publicly. Everybody should see they're carrying the next day's meals. It has to be somewhat of a shinui. not in the regular fashion, but given those conditions, the Chai Adam says you could even do achana one day yonta for the next. And the Chai Adam uses this mission as a raya, because otherwise, how could Rashi say that they're carrying it for the next day? It's achana. The Paiskim are not clear if we should accept the Chai Adam, although I saw the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasoi quotes of Shlomo Zalman Orbach for a very interesting concept that maybe we all rely on it without even knowing. He says, let's say we have a 2-day yontif, Tuesday, Wednesday. Somebody leaves his house Tuesday late afternoon to go daven mincha. And he closes his door and he takes his key. When's the next time he's going to need his key? Tuesday night, after Ma'ariv. So he's carrying, he doesn't need the key for today anymore, he needs the key for tomorrow. So how can he be carrying the key from today? Isn't achana? You're carrying the key for tomorrow. So in a way, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that we're maybe always unknowingly somewhat relying on the Chai Adam. The Shem Tzion Balacha similarly discusses the Shaila. Let's say we have Shemini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, and somebody eats in the Sukkah Shemini Atzeres, and he doesn't have two tables. He only has a table in the Sukkah, and he has a table inside. So he's going to take the table on Shemini Atzeres, but Simchas Torah at night, he doesn't have the light on the Sukkah, or whatever. So is he allowed to carry the table Shemini Atzeres in the afternoon into his house for Simchas Torah? So he also discusses that maybe based on the Chai Adam, it would be permissible. Itmar says the Gemara, Hamafka Peiros Eitz HaChaveray. If somebody leaves his produce with someone else, this is a classic case of a Shomer. I ask you to hold my Peiros. So now the question is, whose Tchum do these Peiros follow? Does it follow me, the owner, or does it follow the person I left it with? Rav Amak Raglim Mishif Kiduloi. It follows the tchum of the person I left it with. V'shmul Amak Ragli Hamafkid. It follows the owner, says the Gemara. Leimer Rav Shmuel Dazel Tamayu. That actually Rav and Shmuel have another machlokes based on a Mishnah Masechta Baba Kama, and their positions here coincide with their positions in Masechta Baba Kama. The Tanan. The Mishnah says Masechta Baba Kama, Im hichnis brishus bala chotzer. If somebody left something in somebody's property and that person gave me permission, chayif. So the person accepted responsibility according to Rav, and now he's responsible for these items. Rebbe Yom Loilam and chayif achi kabbalah bal bayis lishmor. Just because he gave me permission to leave it in his property is not adequate. He had to take explicit responsibility. V'omer Rav Huna, and Rav Huna says, Omer Rav, Rav holds that loch k'divrei chachamim. Just leaving it in his property makes him responsible. V'shmul amaloch k'rebi. Just leaving it in his property is not enough. He has to actually take actual responsibility. Suggest the Gemara. Leimer Rav domek rabbonim. Rav who says that as soon as I leave something by somebody, he becomes the person that we follow his tchum, because Rav holds like Rabbanan Masechta Baba Kama. Just leaving it by you, it's your responsibility. V'shmul, and Shmuel again, Dama Karebi, he'll hold like Rebbe, just like Rebbe in Masechta Baba Kama says, that until you take actual responsibility, you're not the responsible party. Here too, says Shmuel, just because I left it in your reshus, doesn't mean it follows your tchum. Says Rav, Amul Charav, Anod Amir Fila Rebbe. My position here could go even according to Rebbe Masechta Baba Kama. Because at Kan Loikom Rebbe Hossam, Rebbe only said this in Masechta Baba Kama, the Mestabu Loik Kibbal and the Terosai. Rebbe holds that just because you let me leave something in your Rishus doesn't mean that you took full responsibility. Avhocha, and Al Gemara, Ha Kibbal and the Terosai. You did take responsibility, and since you take responsibility, it follows your Tchum. The Shomer's Tchum. Shmuel says, Anod Amar Afilu Rabbanan. My position here could even coincide with Rabbanan in Masechta Baba Kama. Because at Kan Loikom Rabbanan Hasam, the Rabbanan over there say, El Dinichle Le'inish, the Nikem Turi B'Shusa De Balchatzar. The Rabbanan's position in Masechta Baba Kama, that if I leave something in your Rishus, you become responsible, is because that's what I want. Why do I want it? Because I left by you an axe. Now, if you're not going to be take responsibility, and the axe does damage in your property, so I'll be responsible. So certainly I want you to be held responsible. Gimazikle, because my thinking is that if it'll do any damage to you, lemechayiv, I don't want to be responsible. Aval hocho, in our Gemara, minechle leinish to lekem peri b'rishusay, do I want that my produce should be rishusay de chavre? It should be by you. Do I want to abdicate my tchum? I want to have my tchum on my peris, and therefore, even the rabbanon who say that it's very easy for a shomer to take control will here say that the shomer doesn't take control. So the Pnei Yeshua has a beautiful way of explaining this Gemara. He asks a very fundamental question. Our Gemara is not talking about an axe. Our Gemara is talking that I left produce with you. And the question is, whose tchum do we follow, with the shomer or mine? So what's Shmuel speaking about a concept? Because by an axe, I like that you have the responsibility. What does one have to do with the other? And what would be by fruit that can't do damage? So what's Shmuel going to say there? So the Pnei Yeshua explains the Gemara this way. There are two distinct, separate concepts. There's a concept called Shmira, and there's a concept called Chum. And what Shmuel is introducing in this Gemara, says the Pnei Yeshua, that these two separate concepts have nothing to do with each other, and don't necessarily travel together at all. Therefore, says Shmuel, that yes, according to Rabbanan, when I leave something by you, I want you to take responsibility for it. By an axe, it's very well understood, because we want that if it does damage, it shouldn't be my headache, it should be your headache. And by anything, I'm happy that you should be responsible versus me. Says Shmuel, but Tchumim and Shmira are two separate concepts. So even though regarding Shmira, I want it to be in your Rishus, that doesn't mean I want regarding Tchumim it should be Rishus. Tchum, I still want it to follow my Tchum. And since Tchumim and Shmira are two separate concepts, there's no reason to connect them. And therefore the Rabbanan will hold, says Shmuel, that regarding Shmira, as soon as I leave it by you, it's yours. But regarding Tchum, it stays my Tchum. Tanan asked the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Vim Irif, that the Mishnah said that let's say my fruit, let's just review what the beginning of the Mishnah taught us. If I left fruit, produce, with you, with other people, in another city, so that Mishnah drew a distinction. If I don't have an Erev, that fruit can be brought, then I can't transport that fruit. If, on the other hand, I have an Erev, then the fruit can be transported. So the second case was that im Erev, if I left an Erev that I could get to that city, then I could bring the fruit. Ask the Gemara, v'amit k'raglish mi'ashiv k'idetzloi, what happened? I left fruit by somebody else. According to Rav, if I leave fruit by somebody else, what's the difference I have an Erev or not? I can't bring the fruit from there, because if we follow the Shomer's tchum, not my tchum. Ki'avhu, even if I have an Erev, my Havi, I'm not the important party here. The important party is the Shomer. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Bei Rav, Kigon Sheyichel Karen's office. Rav will agree that even Rav, who holds that if I leave something by you, that if I leave something by the Shomer, we follow the Shomer's Tchum, not the owner's Tchum. But let's say the Shomer designated a specific place in the house where he will keep the things I left by him. So then he's not a Shomer. It's like I'm renting space in his house. And there, even Rav will agree that we don't follow the Shomer's Tchum, we follow the owner's Tchum. And Rav will explain that that's the case of the Mishnah. That when I left it by the people in the other city, I didn't just leave it by them. They gave me a specific place in the house, so it's like called renting a room. That doesn't make it the Shomer's room. And we find this concept in Hilchos Pesach. The halacha is that if a guy leaves chametz in a Jew's rishus, the Jew has to do bedikas chametz and beer chametz. But let's say the Jew designated a place for it, then he does have to do bedikas chametz and beer chametz. Because it's like renting a guy a room. If I own an apartment house and I rent a guy an apartment, I have no chi of beer chametz or bedikas chametz. Taisus and all the Rishonim ask a very interesting question. The Gemara's question of Rav was from the second case of the Mishnah. The second case of the Mishnah was that if I have an Erev, then I could carry it. It follows me. So ask Taisus, why don't we ask from the first case? Where it says that if I don't have an Erev, I can't carry it. So isn't that a proof that it follows me? Because, again, it depends if I don't have an Erev. Why did the Gemara wait for the second case? So the Rashba says that the Gemara could have asked that question. So the many times the Gemara likes to ask from a later case than from an earlier case, because the Gemara, it's fresher in our minds. Interestingly enough, the Yerushalmi, when it asked this question, does ask it from the first case of the Mishnah, not from the second case of the Mishnah. But then I saw other terutzim, a little more lomdish. Taisus here gives a terutz like this. He, Taisus Yishanim actually, he says, in the first case of the Mishnah, it may be a situation that these people didn't, that the Shomer didn't make an Erev either. So it's not the reason why it can't be carried because I didn't make an Erev, I the owner. Maybe it can't be carried because the Shomer didn't make an Erev. But maybe if the Shomer had made an Erev, the Mishnah would say that he can't carry it. So we don't have a definitive proof against wrath. It's only in the second case where the Mishnah is very explicit that we follow the owner that we have a very potent question. Another teretz I saw is the Ran and the Pnei Yeshua want to suggest, and everybody disagrees with them, that even according to Rav that we follow the Shomer, it doesn't mean that we only follow the Shomer. How can we ignore the owner? The Rav holds that we do a combination. Both the owner and the Shomer, we follow their combined Erev, their combined Tchum, where they both could carry. But that's not the way anybody learns. But explain the Mefarshim. If we would bring a raya from the first case of the Mishnah, we could say, you know what, the first case of the Mishnah is because we need to have both of us having an Erev. And that's why we both count. The second case where it says clearly that the only person that counts is the owner, therefore is a better raya against Rav until the Gemara gives an answer. Toshma. So now the Gemara asks the question from the next case of the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, Misha Zimanetz Le'orchim, if somebody invited guests, Le'yilichem B'yodim Monos, they're not allowed to take home their leftover food. Elm Kain Zichlem in the same Erev Yontif. Only if I give them their, we did the Kenyan from Erev Yontif. Ask the Gemara, V'yamid Ra'gushmif Kidetzloi, if we say that it follows where the food actually is, so kizach lamadei acher, even if I did this kinyan, where was the food? The food was in my property. According to Rav, we look at where the food is actually. So why do we let them take the food home? My haver, answers the Gemara, kivin shizach lamadei acher, since I did this kinyan, it's kamishi yachal ekeren zavastami, it has the same status as if I gave them a place in my house, where Rav says, certainly, there we follow the owner. Inami, V'baisem another teretz, Zochashani. Since I went out of my way to make this kinyan, makes that what I'm saying, it should be theirs and follow their tchum. So when I learned this Gemara, I was very bothered. What's the nafkamina between the two terutzim? I have to say I couldn't really find a good answer. The best answer I found is that the difference between the first teretz and the second teretz is that according to the first teretz, by me doing this kinyan, I'm showing that I don't want it. The second teretz doesn't just say it's showing that I don't want it. It shows that I want them to have it. So we have the same result, but the question is, what do we need? Do we need that I don't want it? Is that enough to take it away from me? That's what the first teretz says. The second teretz, it's not enough that I don't want it. It has to be that I actually gave it to you, and once I gave it to you, it means that it follows your tchum. Says the Gemara. Rav Chana bar Chinloi. Rav Chana bar Chinloi was a Moira who lived in a city that was far away, that was outside the Tchum of the city that he was in Erev Yontif, but he made an Erev Tchumim that he should be able to get back home on Yontif. Tala Bisra ba'Abda Dasha. People in the city that he was visiting gave him meat and they hung it up on the doorknob of his hotel room. And now the question was that he had, could he go back home carrying this meat? So also lekamid Rafuna, he went to Rafuna to ask him the shaila. Amalei, so Rafuna told him like this, Atalis, if you're the one that hung up the meat, zil shakel, then you could carry the meat home. V'inu tolach, but if the people of the city, the people who owned the hotel, the people of that city were the ones that hung it up, loy tishkel, then you can't carry it home. Ask the Gemara, V'inu tolach, why if he hung it up by himself? Mishakel, why could he then carry it home? Ask the Gemara. Rav Huna, Talmud of Rav Hava. Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav. Vamarav karagli mi shefkidetzloi, that if I have food in your house, according to Rab, we follow the shaymer's tchum. So what's the difference that I hung up the food on the doorknob? It's in your house. And according to Rab, we go with the shaymer's tchum, not with the owner's tchum, says the Gemara. Shani ibridadasha, since I hung it up on the doorknob of my room, it's kimishi yichle karen zavstami. It's like it's in my property. The teretz we said a number of times. That there, Rav agrees, we don't follow the tchum of the shomer, we follow the tchum of the owner of the product. So now the Gemara asks three questions. Omler of Hillel Ravashi, vi inu talalei. Rav Huna told him that if they hung up the meat, loy shokel, then he can't carry the meat. Ask the Gemara, Vamishmul, Shmul taught us on Daf Lamed Ches, Sho Shopetem, Harek Ragli Kaladam. Let's just review the Gemara. We went to 2 days ago. Shmul taught us that if somebody is in the business of selling animals, and he knows that Erev Yontif, his animals are going to get sold on Yontif, he has in mind that he's not the owner of this animal. And the tchum of this animal will be determined by the person who actually buys it. So ask the Gemara, here certainly these people gave Rav Chana ben Chanoi the meat. So it's his meat. So why, just because they hung it up, does it follow the tchum? That's one question. The Bnei Yeshua asks, why don't we just say the Rav doesn't agree with Shmuel's psak that he said in Daf Lamed Ches? So Bnei Yeshua says that psak makes so much sense, it's difficult to say the Rav doesn't agree with it. Ask the Gemara another question. We're saying if they're the ones that hung up the meat, loy shakel. Let's Gemara Daf Lamed Zayin. Gemara Daf Lamed Zayin on the base taught us as follows. Let's say you have a city, just to review, that only has one shepherd. So everybody gives their animals to that shepherd to graze. There's no one else. So even though Erev Yontif, we always say that what's the defining moment for Tchum, Bein HaShemashes, here, since it was known that we're going to give these animals on Yontif to the shepherd, it doesn't follow my Tchum, it follows the shepherd Tchum. So here too, they gave the meat to Rav Chana ben Chanoi. So what's the difference if they hung up the meat on the doorknob? They gave it to him. It's like the people that designated the shepherd, and it certainly should follow his Tchum, not their Tchum. Third question. Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana. Vid in Utala Loi Shokel, if they hung it up, he's not allowed to take it home. But Tanana Behemav Kalim, Karagli Abalim. And the way the Rabbeinu Chananel explains the question is as follows. Another Gemara that we learned on Daf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara says on Daf Lamed Zayin, in explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Daf Lamed Ches, excuse me. The Gemara says on Daf Lamed Ches, in explaining the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin, that let's say I borrow something from you. So the Mishnah says, it follows my tchum, not your tchum. So the Gemara asked, obviously, if I borrowed, it's by me. So the Gemara says, we're not talking in a case where I have it in my rishus, that's obvious. It's where you told me in Erev Yontif that you're lending it to me. So since it was already designated that it will be by me on Yontif, it follows my tchum. Ask the Gemara, if in a case where I was just merely designated from Erev Yontif, it follows my tchum, here where they actually gave it to him, and they just hung it up on his doorknob, why shouldn't it follow his tchum? Why should it follow their tchum? So because of these three questions, the Gemara says that this has nothing to do with Hilchus Tchumim. There's another concept that was in play here. There's a concept of Bosesh Nesal Min Ha'ayin. The meat has to be under supervision. And says the Gemara, Shani Rav Chana Bar Chanaloi, the Gavir Rabahu, he was a big Talmud Chochem, Betar B'Shmatzei, and he was always learning. So V'Hochkam, and this is the way the Miri explains the Gemara. E At Talis Lech, if you're the one that hung up the meat, so if you hung up the meat, you had to give a look at the meat. If you had a look at the meat, Islach Simon Abigavei. So the next day on Yontif, you could recognize if that was indeed the meat that was given to you, and it's not Bosesh in a Salomon Ayin. Because you could recognize it. However, and that's why Zil Shkol, you could carry it home. However, if they hung it up, you never really paid attention to this meat. So you don't recognize the meat. So it's Bosesh in a Salomon Ayin, and that's why v'lo tishkol. So as far as hilchus tchum goes, you can carry it. It's certainly yours, and it follows your tchum. Here is a different consideration, the consideration of blosish and salmon ayin. The mefarshim take this a step further. Mefarshim say that once it's blosish and salmon ayin, it becomes muksa, because meat that you're not allowed to eat is muksa on yontif, and therefore you can't carry it because it's muksa also. Says the last Mishnah in the Masechta. Ein mashkin b'shoichten esemidbarius. We're now allowed to give to drink, we'll explain this more in the Gemara, or shecht animals that graze outside. Avol mashkin b'shoichten esabaisis. Animals that are domesticated, we could give them to drink, and we could shecht them. Elon basis, how do we define a domesticated animal? Halonis be'ir, the ones that are come home every night. Midbarius, halonis be'efer, ones that graze outside of the city. Ask the Gemara, lomali lameim mashkin v'shoichten. So the way the Ran explains the Gemara is very halach lemaisa. The Ran says, halach lemaisa, any animal where there is no concern that you're going to catch the animal, that you could be over the malacha at Seder, you're allowed to feed the animal. Even though we've learned so many times in our Masechta that animals are muksa, that means you're not allowed to touch them, you're not allowed to touch them maybe, yes, you're not allowed to move them, but to feed them, you're allowed to. It's halach lemaisa. So the Gemara's question is, according to the Ran, was the Mishnah connecting, giving them to drink and shechting them? You're allowed to give them to drink always. That's how the Ran asked the question, and that is the halacha. Animals, you're allowed to give to eat. Birds and fish, which is a concern of tzeda, you're not allowed to feed. Besides what they say by fish, if they're swimming in water, that's all the nourishment they need. There is a question on a fish or other animals that you can't, that there is a concern of tzeda. But let's say if you don't give it to eat, the animal is not well or whatever, can you give it to eat? Darach HaShulchan, interesting psak, says, the pasuk says, the racham of HaKal Masov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful. We also have to be merciful, and that's why he says that we can. There's another interesting shaila. There's certain animals that even if you'll put the food in front of them, they won't eat it. You have to feed them. And that means touching the animal, or moving the animal. Are you allowed to? So the Magen Avraham says that a Jew should not do it, but you're allowed to do it al yidei akum, or al yidei katan. So Gemara's question is, what's the Mishnah teaching us with Shaychten? Mashkin. Says the Gemara, Milsa agav orcha kamash mulan. The Mishnah is teaching us a separate din. The lishke inshi behemtoi, the person, before he shechs his animal, first should give it a drink. For hada lishkat mishim sircha de mishcha. So the way Rashi explains it is that it's easier to skin the animal if you gave it to drink before you shecht it. The Rambam in our Gemara explains it differently. He says, we know that an animal has on its lungs adhesions. Says the Rambam, an animal, if you give it to drink, those adhesions will come off and there won't be a question of kashrus. But it's interesting, when we look at the Rambam, here he says the reason because of the lung. There's a similar Gemara Masechta Tamid, Mishnah Masechta Tamid, and there the Rambam says like Rashi. There he says because it should be easier to skin. So Mefarshim asks, why is the Rambam being inconsistent? So I saw a very nice pshat. In Masechta Tamid, the Gemara is talking about a carbon oiler. A carbon oiler we're not going to eat. We don't examine the lungs. So what's the only thing we need to do? The halach is that you have to separate the skin from the meat. The meat is burnt on the Mizbeach. The skin is given to the Kohanim. So that's what the Rambam says over there. The reason we give it to drink is that it should be easy to skin the animal. Here we're talking about an animal that we're going to shecht to eat. Before we eat it, we have to examine the lungs. That's why here the Rambam says it should be easy. We have to be able to do it to make sure that there won't be any circus on the lung.
Can you give it
food? Food is the same.
Right,
it's food is the same. Tanar bonnet. Just the Mishnah teaching us it's smart to give it to drink. Elam and Barius, Velam Bisis. What is domesticated and what is a non-domesticated? Says the Gemara Midbarius, Kol Shiyotz of the Pesach. They go out Pesach, Verois Be'efer, they go out to graze, V'nechneses B'Revir Rishonim. And they come back in Cheshvin when the rain starts to come down. Velam Bisis, what's considered domesticated? Kol Shiyotz Verois Chutz Tchum, Oboas Lanus B'Toich Tchum. They're outside the tchum and they come home every night. And the Rishonim say, even if they don't come home till Yontav began, so when Yontav began they were chutz l'tchum, makes no difference. Since they're expected to come home every night, and there's no problem for an animal to walk tchum, animal is not chuyv v'mitzvahs, so that's why even though the animal physically wasn't toichet tchum, when Yontav began, it's not an issue. There's interesting bir halacha. The bir halacha discusses a shaila. Let's say you have a non-domesticated animal, but it was in the tchum, erev Yontif, but you weren't aware of it. So do we say it was lemaisa in the city, so it's considered like a domesticated animal? Or do we say, since you're not aware of it, even though it physically was, we follow your knowledge, not the facts? Rabbi Eimer, Ela basic saying, all of these are considered domesticated. Ela Hamid Burris, what's considered non-domesticated? Kol Shiyotis Rois Be'efer, anything that goes out to graze, the Enen Nechnosis Le'yishav, it never comes in to the town, Lo'i Be'masacham, Lo'i Be'maskisham, not in the summer, not in the winter. Ask the Gemara, if Rebbe's starting to define which are domesticated, which are not domesticated, obviously he holds a muksa, and he's going to say the non-domesticated are muksa, and the domesticated are muksa. Ask the Gemara, Miyas Leila Rebbe Muksa. Does Rebbe subscribe to the concept of muksa? V'boim nei Rav Shimon bar Rebbe mi Rebbe. He asked the following question. Pitzile tomorrow. So it's machloikis Rashi and Tosfos what pitzile tomorrow are. Rashi says pitzile tomorrow are dates that don't ripen on the tree. They never get ripe on the tree. What they used to do is take them off the tree, put them into baskets, and the way the Mefarshim explained, because you have so many in the basket, the heat that's generated in the basket causes them to ripen. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that these dates don't ripen until you cut them into two, pitzili means to cut, and then put them up to dry, and that's how you put them out, and that's how it'll ripen. So the question is, Rav Shimon Ma, we're going to learn like Rashi. According to Rav Shimon, is that considered muksa or not? Amalei, so responded, ein muksa Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon doesn't hold anything as muksa. Ela groigros et smukim bovad. So the way Rashi explains, what's unique about groigros et smukim? What's unique about groigros et smukim is, what's groigros? It's a fig. Smukim is a raisin. So figs were edible. Grapes were edible. You then went and took these figs, took these grapes onto the roof to dry, and as we learned so many times in this Masechta, during that drying process, they're inedible. So you took something that was good, and you made it no good. You made it inedible. That's what Rav Shimon holds as muksa. But in our case, as Rashi explained, these dates weren't ripe. So it's not something that you would dach v'yadayim, that you pushed away, and that's why he says it's not muksa. But we see that he doesn't hold of muksa, because he's explaining Rav Shimon. Answers the Gemara, Ibais Ema, Hani Nani Kegroigs with Smukum Dami. Even though they're not identical, because as we just explained, the Groigs with Smukum were once edible, these were never edible, but in both cases you did something, and since you did something, they're considered muksa. Ibais Ema, Udvar of Rav Shimon. No, we're not talking about animals anymore.
The Gemara is comparing
it to animals. No, the Gemara is comparing Pitzile Tamara to Groigus
and Smukim. No, but the Kashi is from Rebbe.
No, the Gemara is asking, how do you say Rebbe is speaking about Muksa? Here we see that he didn't hold, he's explaining Rav Shimon Shitta. So obviously he holds like Rav Shimon. Okay. Ibai Seyma, Hani Nani Ki Groigus and Smukim Dami. These are like Groigus and Smukim. He's explaining Rav Shimon's sheet of Leilei Sfirulei. He does subscribe to Muksa. He's speaking to Rabbanim. And he's telling them like this. I don't subscribe to Muksa. I hold like Rav Shimon. That you obviously do subscribe to Muksa. So now we have to start defining what is domesticated. What is not domesticated. Oidali Mias. Maybe at least agree to me that hechet the yoytzus arois for Pesach v'nechnasis b'rvir ishayna, that even though they're out for the entire summer season, but they come home in Cheshvin, they should be considered domesticated. And you, the Bais is saying, and you should also agree that they're not muksa. V'amalei, and the Rabbanan say no. Not only do we subscribe to the concept of muksa, but we have a very strict definition of it. Midbari is saying we consider them non-domesticated, and if they are out for the whole summer season, we consider them muksa. But Rebbe himself, that's not an issue too, because he doesn't subscribe to muksa. The tzlach, beautiful tzlach, connects the end of Al-Masechta and the beginning of Al-Masechta. If you recall, it was a while ago, 39 blad ago, the Gemara began speaking about Beya, an egg on Yontif. Why is it, is it muksa or it's not? And trying to explain the Mishnah. And one of the explanations we had back on Daf Beis was Rav Nachman's explanation. Rav Nachman said that even though on Shabbos we paskin like Rav Shimon, a more limited view of muksa, on Yontif, Mishum the kill, because Yontif is more lenient, Chazal were more machmer and gave more of an application to muksa. Gemara we learned on that base. Says the Tzlach, the end of the Gemsechta, and this is the way the Ramah holds, shows us that Rav Nachman is incorrect. Here we're speaking about Yontif. So why didn't the Gemara just say that we're talking about Yontif? And in Yontif, we're more strict, we're stricter with muksa than we are on Shabbos. Since the Gemara didn't say it, it's a proof that Rav Nachman's contention that we distinguish between Shabbos and Yontif is incorrect. Says the Tzlach, Alpi Shafart. The Gemara said at the beginning of Masechta Beya, Im Yitzios Negmeres. Simple Pshat means that the bag, when it comes out, that's when it's considered complete. Says the Tzlach, Pshat's like this, Beya. We've learned the whole Masechta. We didn't know what the status of this egg is. Should we treat it stricter on Yontif than on Shabbos? In Tziyosoy, when we come to the end of the Masechta, Nigmeris, we know what the halach is, that we shouldn't treat Yontif different than Shabbos, like the Ramah says. One more vart, to end the Masechta with a Dvar Drush, the Ben Yoyada explains this Gemara homiletically. He says that we know in Klal Yisrael there are two groups. We have the people that sit and learn. And we have the people that make a living, and they're supposed to work, and they're supposed to at least support those that learn Torah. So he explains like this. Elohim Baisis. What is Elohim Midbarius? Midbarius is Lashon Dibur. Who are the people that they live up in Dibur, that they talk? They talk in learning. Who are those people? Kol Shiyotzis Pesach. Pesach is Lashon Peh, your mouth. Their life is a life of talking in Torah. V'roi is Spur Eifer. A Talmud Chochem doesn't have an easy life in Gashmias. He's Be'efer, he's in the ashes. Pas B'melech Teichel. V'nechnas is B'revi Rishayna. We know that the Torah is divided into four Chalakim. Pshat, Remesh, Drush, Soid. These people sit and learn the four Chalakim of the Torah. Ve'elahim basis. Then you have the people who have nice homes. Those are the people that work. What are they supposed to do? They call shiyotzis rois chutz l'tchum. They go out to the world, they have to go do business. But what is their obligation? They have to make sure that the people who are in the home, in the yeshiva, and the beis midrash get supported. Hadron lach mishilim peri v'slik v'sach tabeya. Hadron lach mishilim peri v'slik v'sach tabeya. Hadron lach mishilim peri v'slik v'sach tabeya.
The comparison was from Rabbi from Muksa to the Bahamas.